His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda ki jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvashesh Vasunyavad Paschachi Desita. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 3, the Bhumi Gita. I was just thinking this morning that this 12th canto book is so easy to handle. It's not big like the others. And we'll be finishing the 12th canto fairly soon. And I was thinking back on the time that I've been here in the Elatra community and whether we were on the first canto when we moved here. I think so. So it means that progressively, day by day, here in Elatra Temple, we've gone through 1st through 12th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I was imagining what it would be like to be giving classes on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how long that will take. You know, the purport is about 5 pages or something. And the verse, so important, I wonder how many days they'll assign to the first verse, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Coming soon. So today's verse, text number 32, word meanings. Dashu Yuktushta, predominated by thieves. Janapada, the populated places. Veda, the Vedic scriptures. Pasanda, by atheists. Dusita, contaminated. Rajana, the political leaders, Cha and Raja Baksha, consuming the populace, Shishna Udara, the genitals and belly, Para, dedicated, Dvija, the brahmanas. Dashu Krishna Janapada. Dashu Krishna Janapada. Veda Pasanda Dusita. Rajna Cha Paja Baksha. Shishnu Dara Paraduja. Dashu Krishna Janapada. Veda Pasanda Dusita. Raj Rajas, Rajanas, Rajanas cha praja baksa.
Rajanas cha praja baksa.
Shishnu dara paradvija. Dasu Krishna Janapada,
Dasu Krishna Janapada,
Veda Pasanda Dusita,
Veda Pasanda Dusita,
Rajanas Cha Praja Baksha,
Rajanas Cha Praja Baksha,
Shishno Dara Paradvija, Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens. And the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. Purport. Many large cities are unsafe at night. For example, it is understood that no sane person will walk in New York's Central Park at night because he knows he will be almost certainly mugged. Apart from ordinary thieves who abound in this age, large cities are filled with cutthroat businessmen who enthusiastically convince people to purchase and consume useless or even harmful products. It has been well documented that beef, tobacco, liquor, and many other modern products destroy one's physical health, but to speak of mental health. And yet modern capitalists do not hesitate to use every psychological trick in the book to convince people to consume these things. Modern cities are full of mental and atmospheric pollution, and even ordinary citizens are finding them unbearable. This verse also points out that the teachings of the Vedic scriptures will be distorted in this age. Great universities will teach courses on Hinduism, in which Indian religion, despite limitless evidence to the contrary, is described as polytheistic and leading to an impersonal salvation. In fact, all Vedic literature is a unified whole, as stated by Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedischa Savar Aham Avivedya. By the Vedas, I, Krishna, am to be known. All Vedic literature is meant for enlightening us about the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personal Absolute Truth, or Vishnu, or Krishna. Although known by many names and appearing in many forms, God is a single absolute entity, and he is a person. But this true Vedic understanding is hidden in the Kali Yuga. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami astutely observes that political leaders will virtually consume the citizens, and the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. How sadly true this statement is. Om Agyana Tamarandasha Kananjana Shalakaya Shaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. I don't know if it was purposeful, but as I was reading the translation and purport, it seemed like people were giving their affirmations. Yeah, that's right. As we read each sad description after another, people, yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, that's correct. That's the wonderful nature of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that we can relate to it and understand it very easily because we're experiencing it. But that's actually the beauty of the entire Bhagavatam, is that we can understand it. We'll come to understand it. Just as we understand these passages of Srimad Bhagavatam that describe our experience, our daily experience in Kali Yuga, descriptions in other places in the Bhagavatam which describe the form of Krishna, our intimate relationship with Krishna, or truths about the creation, Mahavishnu generating universes from the pores of his body. All these things become just as familiar, and the affirmations we have in our life and experiences will become just as real as they are when we're reading these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's a very encouraging, wonderful future we have with this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amala Purana, spotless Purana, that is non-different from Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So there's a verse from the Katha Upanishad, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, that is a philosophical understanding which will help us very much in going deeper into this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vititat kama. This verse describes the essential nature of the living being. And what is that nature? It's that we are dependent beings. First point we learn in our study of Krishna consciousness is that we're not this material body, but that we are a eternally dependent part and parcel of Krishna. So we require, as such, we require shelter. We require protection. So the Katha Upanishad says that you get that protection. There's one Supreme Eternal, and he's giving protection to all the others. So if you take that shelter, you will gain protection. So that's a very essential understanding of the spirit soul and how we can go deeper into verses such as those that we are studying now in Srimad Bhagavatam. We require shelter. The Rolling Stones got it right. Give me shelter. Actually, the Rolling Stones had it right on a lot of things. I don't know how they didn't take the Krishna consciousness as much as the Beatles did. But we need shelter. That is our essential nature. And that's important to understand when we read this verse, because this verse is all about how we can't get no satisfaction. How we don't get shelter, how we can't get shelter, how these things have let us down. Why are these particular things mentioned? Cities, the Vedas being contaminated, political leaders devouring the citizens. Well, there are many, many evils in Kali Yuga, and of course they're described throughout the verses here. But why are these particular things described? It's because we look for shelter to these things and we can't get it. That's the evil of Kali Yuga. It goes right to the heart of our very being as dependent spirit souls, that we can't get shelter. And specifically, we can't get shelter, as we'll discuss, from the things that are described in this verse today. When Lord Ramachandra was banished to the forest for 14 years, when he left, Sita and Lakshman accompanied him. And just when they were just about to leave the kingdom of Ayodhya, they were going to cross the Sarayu River, and then their exile would actually really begin. They stopped on the bank of the Sarayu River and turned back to look towards Ayodhya. And they made, Lord Ramachandra made a prayer to Ayodhya. Actually, he prayed to Ayodhya as if Ayodhya was a person. And he begged for not only the opportunity to see Ayodhya again, after 12 years of, 14 years, 14 or 12? 14. After 14 years, he begged to see Ayodhya again, and he said to Ayodhya that, please take care of your citizens. Again, he was addressing Ayodhya, which is a city, but like a person. Please take care of your citizens, and I pray that you bless me, that I may see you again after our exile in the forest. And so Lord Ramachandra is giving a very poignant prayer that's describing how the city, Ayodhya, gave shelter to its citizens. And of course, his Leela, as Leela Purushottam, the best of human beings, he came to show us, give us an example of how we should think, how we should feel. And so we should also seek shelter, as he did, of Ayodhya, a city. We can also, and we do in sort of perverted ways, take shelter of a city. Cities always want you to be proud of them and somehow or another identify with them in ways. New York, for instance, it's mentioned in the purport here. New York is the big what? Yeah, it's the Big Apple. Everyone knows New York is the Big Apple. And there's a positive identification that's put forward there. But unfortunately, the Big Apple falls short of giving shelter to those who approach that city for shelter. As I said in the purport here, it's mentioned about Central Park and being mugged at night, identification with New York now becomes an excuse for being rude or short with people. Don't blame me, I'm from New York. So we desperately are looking for shelter in different ways, and we look to cities for that. The common good, the common safety, the common welfare that organized human society provides. We look for that, but we're sadly mistaken. We're cheated, actually. Here it's described, cities will be dominated by thieves. And in the purport, that's expanded to include businessmen. New York is the business capital of the world. Of course, we're picking on New York, but we could pick on Los Angeles, too. Chicago. Any big cities today, they cheat us as we look for shelter. What a horrible thing. Again, the example of Lord Ramachandra. After he had conquered Ravana, killed him, there was some discussion initiated by Bibhishan that now you can become the king of Lanka. The golden city of Lanka is now yours. And then there was some conversation also, Lakshman said, yes, you should become the king of Lanka because Bharat is ruling in Ayodhya, and so they already have a king there, and Lanka is so wealthy here. This is the golden city. You can become king here. You should become king here. And Ram said, Lakshman, how are you speaking like this? If my mother is poor, does that mean that I reject her just because somebody else is wealthy? Do I reject my mother? Again, speaking of Ayodhya as a person, as a mother. Mother gives shelter. So Lord Ramachandra said, no, I won't become the king of Lanka just because she's wealthy. My mother is Ayodhya. So we should take a lesson from this and see the reality of Kali Yuga, that cities will be dominated by thieves, and all the modern so-called work that goes on there takes advantage of the citizens rather than benefits them by giving shelter. So cities are dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretations of the atheists. Now here's where I have a question for all of you. We know from the history of the Vedic scriptures that at the beginning of creation, Madhu and Kaitab, they stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma. So does anybody know what they did with them? They stole the Vedas, Brahma. What did they do with the Vedas?
They swallowed the
Vedas. Okay, they swallowed in their throats. But what did they do? You have the Vedas are the most valuable part of Vedic civilization. So we can see that it's something that would be desirable to steal. But what did they do with it? I couldn't find anything on that.
Harinam Chintam. Shishtajan Shastra Hoite Pai
Krishna roti, dusta jan, shei shastra hoite pai dusta moti. And then he gives the example of demons. When they take the Veda, they scrutinize and find what they didn't achieve yet for their own sense enjoyment. And they literally scrutinize like us. But when we scrutinize as a follower of Prabhupada and devotee, we are trying to find more attachment to Krishna after studying or following Veda. And they actually do more exploitation.
Okay.
Like Jagai Madai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Jagai Madai used to study Shastra every day. What sinful thing they didn't do yet. Oh, there is a new thing we should do today. So like inspiration.
Okay, yeah, that's good, thank you. Yeah, because that's the point. The Vedas are meant to give shelter, to give protection. And instead of approaching for the Vedas for that purpose, the Vedas are approached for, as it's described here, contaminated speculative interpretations about how to enjoy. And how to enjoy means, in this material world, exploiting others. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being becomes food for another. I mean, we can take this literally, and I'm going to give some examples about that in a minute. But even if we don't take it literally, there's intense competition to enjoy between living beings, and thus cooperation, which is necessary in the service of the Lord, is absent. Therefore, Prabhupada himself said, your love will be shown for me. Your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together. And so cooperation is necessary, but the Vedas are used to create divisions. We know the Varnashram system. The Varnashram system offers shelter to human civilized society. But when it becomes corrupt or contaminated, as described here, then we find things like the caste system and other perverted kind of understandings, which are meant for jivo jivasya jivanam, one living being becoming food for another. The Vedas are misused in that way. What to speak of, as it's described here in the purport, of covering Krishna. The Vedas are meant to reveal Krishna. But when they are contaminated and used by persons who are unworthy, who are like the two Danavas, Madhu and Kaitab, it becomes misused knowledge. And even that becomes perverted because it's misused, then the so-called brahmanas, they say that therefore there shouldn't be access. And it just becomes more and more and more complex situation. And the shelter that the Vedas offer become lost. So again, we're losers. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens. There was a leader in Uganda, Idi Amin. I understand, I've heard, that he would actually consume the citizens, physically eat. This is Kali Yuga. Even the descriptions here that seem hard to believe, it's to such an extent, we can see it before us. So literally consuming the citizens is there. Of course, we know Ravana was also like that, Rakshasa, man-eater. If he couldn't enjoy Sita, he was going to eat her, consume. what a horrible kind of situation where rakshasas literally consume the citizens. And of course, other ways of completely exploiting the citizens are experienced. Modern media, I have some friends that I was talking to the last couple of days, describing how terrible this modern media is for children, and how you have to rescue the children from the effects of social media, modern media. These are vehicles by which we're all being consumed and controlled. I'm just shocked by the degree to which everything is connected. And if you have something, you need something to fix your house, a hammer or something like that, don't go online to buy it, because you'll get like bombarded with like this ad for a hammer, that ad for a hammer, you know. Well, yeah, you'll be hammered. Because there's no shelter. If there's exploitation. Sure, the idea is good. You want to find out where there's a post box because you have to mail something urgently. Search out USPS.com and you can find a mailbox. But by doing that, you open yourself up to so much exploitation. That's the nature of the world today. No shelter can we find. So political leaders will consume the citizens, businessmen will consume the citizens, and so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. Maybe sometime when you studied the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, you may wonder why Rupa Goswami begins Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam. He's discussing these pushings, vegam, the urges, the bullies. These are bullies. What does a bully do? He pushes you around, makes you do what he wants rather than what you want. The senses are meant to be our shelter. By utilizing our senses, this is the definition of sadhana bhakti. To utilize one's senses in the service of Krishna. So we can take shelter in that. We have senses and we can use them to serve in a variety of ways. But when even that becomes destroyed by the pushings of the belly and the genitals, then even that shelter is not available to us. So we are cast aside without shelter in this material world in Kali Yuga. And that's our problem, and that's what's being described in all these verses. One of Srila Prabhupada's last desires was to establish Varnashram. He said, I'll go to Gita Nagari, and from Gita Nagari I'll teach you Varnashram. Why was he thinking like that? Does anybody know? Who said that? Okay. Because he could see the future. What did he see in the future?
Whatever's described there.
Yeah, it was yes, we got one. Yes, he wanted a safety net. He wanted to give us that shelter we're looking for. He saw maybe we can't take the shelter. Well, let's rephrase that a little bit. He saw that we could benefit from the safety net of Varnashram. So we wouldn't fall away completely from Krishna consciousness if we couldn't perform it to the highest degree. He wanted to give us shelter because he knows the evil of Kali Yuga is that you can't get any shelter. All these things, like if we look at these verses today, we have the Brahmins failing to give shelter. So-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. So the Brahmins aren't giving shelter. The Kshatriyas, political leaders, will virtually consume the citizens. So Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they're the businessmen mentioned in here who are exploiting the, even promoting unhealthy products. Tobacco industry. We should get Balavanta in here and let him tell us about the tobacco industry. He sued them in court, he'll tell you. These people know exactly the danger to the health of their products, yet they actively peddle it like pushers to young children. So Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, Sudras, they're the ones that are exploited by these other three classes. So Varnashram, the very system that we can find shelter, that Prabhupada wanted to teach us to give us shelter, it's being destroyed. That's why these individual things are mentioned as we go through them in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto. Because we can't get any shelter. And we should be convinced of that. We can't get any shelter materially, so we should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Most mercifully given in this age by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So any reflections, comments, questions, criticisms, anything, Dhammaraj?
You quoted Srila Prabhupada saying that our love for him would be shown by how much we cooperate.
I'll cooperate to keep this institution together.
Now, what if we don't agree with each other, which we find so many times? So how do we solve that issue?
Well, Kali Yuga response is to break and go away. Our response is to swallow and tolerate. So there's no alternative.
So is that swallow and tolerate, is that a quality of spiritual development? Or is it a quality to show cooperation? Or a quality to just...
What's the difference if Prabhupada said that's what we should do? You see so many letters Prabhupada says, just tolerate what can be done. So yes, it's a spiritual aspect because we're following Prabhupada's desire. He, more than anyone, understood how to deal with powerful individuals that had different opinions. And he taught us swallow and tolerate. Yes.
Recently I was in the leadership training seminar in Mayapur, and it was very illuminating actually on these topics also. Many topics were discussed. And Hari Vilas Prabhu brought that point that how Prabhupada wrote in the letter 1972 to Karandar Prabhu, he said, this Krishna consciousness movement is for training individual to be independently thoughtful and competent in action without bureaucracy. So we just that was the Prabhupada's letter. I'm sorry. And then
without,
we
they didn't get the word.
So we are discussing about many aspects, unity in diversity. Prabhupada also stressed about that. The story of the guru teaching the disciples with the stick of bundles, that individually Ishkan can be broken if we have individual interest instead of accommodating others also together living in a harmonious way. One of the things we discuss also that if each of us can withdraw our self-interest while we are serving the Prabhupada's movement, then it is possible to accommodate others to live harmonious and respectful. The personal interest motivation is what the biggest obstacle of not cooperating.
Thank you. Anything else anyone has? Yes?
I was trying to understand, cities, like how they give shelter. One thing I was thinking that our temples are like that. They're like little Vaikuntha planets that Prabhupada has created. And so we take shelter of our little cities here. And just like Lord Ram had such an affection for Ayodhya, certainly we can't have that affection for cities nowadays, but we definitely as practicing Vaishnavas can have that feeling of a person or like that for our temples that are giving us shelter.
Thank you, yeah, very nice.
So to add to what Marumati was saying, I was thinking that we took shelter in this little city of Alacha so that we're not bombarded by the hustle and bustle of the big cities. We come here, I mean, knowing that, you know, economically we might not be that well off because of a small city, but at least it protects our spiritual life. So that's why there's so many devotees coming here for that kind of a shelter.
Yes, thank you, that's a very good point. And it's kind of like a leap of faith. As you said, it's a small city. If you think, calculate materially, gee, you know, what am I doing? But if we have that desire for spiritual shelter and see it like that, then we'll take that leap of faith and Krishna will protect us. Steve, yeah, okay.
Hey, I really appreciate the part of class where you're talking about New York City being an evil place. Because I grew up in Boston. But in defense of New York, you know, that is where Prabhupada started the movement, and from there it spread around the globe. So we got to give New York City a little bit of credit for some kind of...
Well, let's don't give New York City credit. Let's give Prabhupada the credit that he went into the mouth of the beast.
And the beast responded.
The beast did respond.
I find it curious that we, like you said in the beginning, we've studied, I was here too, we've read the entire Bhagavatam. And it's stated that if you read the 12 cantos, that you'll be self-realized. So I was just wondering what happened. You know, it just went right over my head.
Got to do it again. Just start over again. Yeah. But you may be more self-realized than you perceive. And that's a mirror that the Vaishnavas can hold up to you. And obviously, by your daily engagement, it's not like you've wasted your time coming to the Bhagavatam class, first to 12 cantos. You're a changed person.
I was reflecting when you were talking about the, you know, the demons and the Vedas, and you were talking about the Ramayana. So Ravan, when his brother was killed, is described that he gave an extensive lecture to the wives and relatives of his brother, consoling them on the basis of the Vedas, that life is not permanent, you know, that body goes and comes, this is karma. And so many, you know, like intellectual philosophy that he propounded. And even when he saw Narad, when he was flying in his airplane, he saw Narad, he welcomed him and he stepped down to give, you know, to move aside to give Narad a seat next to him, because he understand that these are great personalities, and if he satisfies them, then he can probably get his way better. That's when he and Narad was discussing about what can he do next, who else can he conquer. So just thinking how the same Vedic culture, the same scripture, you can use it in so many different purposes, depends on your background.
Right. You can use it, it's dangerous. You teach a child something they're not ready for, it becomes dangerous rather than helpful to them. So that's how the Vedas have been misused, how they become contaminated.
I have one more.
Yes, please.
In the seminar also, it's a very fascinating seminar, even though its name is leadership, but actually, to me, I already wrote a feedback on that, that seminar was actually for any sincere, serious follower of Prabhupada to serve this movement, they should take this. This is just my humble interest, because it inspired actually everyone. Anyway, in that seminar, Paramgati Prabhu was mentioning, your godbrother Paramgati Prabhu, he was also participating with us, that two reasons we should take shelter always to Krishna. And he remembers what he heard with Vidhananda Maharaj and Prabhupada one time discussion, that one was that Krishna is the controller of Maya and he's stronger than Maya. And second one was he's a Bhakta Vatsa. So then I asked, I remember, can you explain further? So then he says what he remembers, the discussion Prabhupada had, that when the conditioned soul tried to come back to the master's abode, Maya is like a giant, scary dog. Does not allow. It's barking, and then this little soul is so scared. But then master see it, because master now saw that soul took shelter of him, and he has some relationship. So he tells the scary dog, quiet. It's my friend. He's going to enter in my house. He'll be living here. And then even though the Maya is very scary, but the moment Krishna tell her that this soul belongs to me, it's going to stay here, the dog goes very far and don't disturb anymore. So therefore, we should always remember that Krishna is the controller and stronger than Maya.
Okay, one last. Come.
Srila Prabhupada once. Srila Prabhupada at least founded at least three independent institutions. He founded ISKCON, he founded the BBT, and he founded the Bhaktivedanta Institute. I mean, they were legally independent, and yet they were meant to be interdependent. How was that relationship supposed to develop throughout the years after he passed?
Well, the primary relationship between ISKCON and the BBT is, and of course, these are long discussions, very intricate discussions, but the BBT, ISKCON was the beneficiary of the BBT. In other words, the BBT was a trust, and a trust has a testator who, or a creator of the trust, and a beneficiary. So ISKCON is the beneficiary of the BBT. And that took the form of different ways. Maybe to loaning, Prabhupada established loans that temples could take. And of course, they had access and duty to distribute his books. So founder of a trust and the beneficiary of a trust. The primary relationship between the BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute, and the BBT, was Prabhupada said the BBT should fund the BI. And so, again, it was a founder and a beneficiary kind of relationship. And of course, all of three were meant to cooperate because they're all populated with his disciples and followers of his disciples. And so cooperation is a simple way to describe the relationship amongst the three. As I said, it's a complex.
And, but do they, so they all provide this shelter that you were mentioning, in a way?
Supposed to. That's as far as I'm going to go on that.
Prabhupada had another also, the BSCD does give shelter actually.
I did visit Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust?
Yes, that's also Prabhupada funded.
Yeah.
And it gives shelter.
For those who don't
so
know,
many.
Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust, Prabhupada used that to support Vaishnava temples, mainly in West Bengal, as he saw ISKCON as the modern day, almost like an heir of responsibility in taking care of those temples. Granturashimad Bhagavatam Kijaya.